Morning, and welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Today is Sunday, September 6th, the final Sunday of our worship season, which means that next week, September 13th, is Rally Sunday. Next week, we'll be starting a new worship series, welcoming new members, and hearing about ministry and programming opportunities for our upcoming program year. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Today, our worship theme is Beguiled by Beauty, and the focus for today's service is From Beauty to Deeper Truths. And it's a Communion Sunday. We'll be gathering at 11 a.m. on our Zoom platform for a brief service of Holy Communion, followed by fellowship. Our preacher for today's worship service is Allison Keekley Silva, the pastoral associate of Hillcrest Church. I look forward to her message as I look forward to our whole worship service. Thanks to Allison and to all who are leading and participating in our worship today. We will hear the news of community and then prepare ourselves for worship.
Greetings. I'm Bill Cunningham, and I will be your liturgist for this September the 6th worship service. Please be sure to attend the virtual communion and fellowship hour this Sunday at 11 a.m. Reverend Fred will first lead us in communion, have your bread and cup ready, followed by conversation. You can participate using your telephone, computer, tablet, or smartphone. Instructions on how to join in the conversation were emailed by Reverend Fred on Saturday, September the 5th. Sunday school will take place again this Sunday afternoon. Please contact Allison Keekley Silva for further information. Zoom links are emailed weekly to the families. Please note the following information about upcoming adult education classes. There will be no class on Wednesday, September the 9th. On Wednesday, September the 16th, at 4 p.m., a new series begins based on the book, So You Want to Talk About Race. Reverend Fred will be sending a separate email with more information about this new topic. Information about the various ways you can obtain this book can be found in the written News of the Community emailed to you on Saturday, September the 5th, by Reverend Fred. We have some special celebrations coming up. September the 13th is Rally Day. As the start of the new church year, it is the day we celebrate each other and Hillcrest and discern how we will be called to serve our church in the coming year. At the Rally Day worship service, we will have some special music and introduce a new worship theme, Sacred Earth, Sacred Word. We'll also be welcoming new members to our family. We hope you'll be there to witness Reverend Laura Barnes and the Graham family, Christina, Doug, Daniel, and Hannah, as they become members of our beloved Hillcrest. At the 11 a.m. Zoom Fellowship Hour, we'll celebrate our new members and hear from Council about service opportunities for you to consider for the coming year. Be sure to come. There may be costumes involved. During this time of physical separation, we hope you can join in this affirming celebration of Hillcrest's ongoing work. At the September 20 worship service, we will have the privilege of participating in the baptism of Hannah Graham, daughter of Christina and Doug Graham. A celebration will be held at the 11 a.m. fellowship hour. If you're interested serving as a virtual liturgist or have any questions about what that entails, please email Cindy Durant. We're happy to announce that effective this Friday, September 11th, the food pantry will allow clients to come once a month rather than four times a year. This change is in recognition of the growing amount of food insecurity in our community. The Outreach Committee is spreading the news in the community, and we ask that you pass the word to those you know who are food insecure for themselves or their families. And remember, you can bring food donations directly to the food room anytime it is open, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 11:45, and we will be closed on Labor Day. Hillcrest office hours are Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to noon. Please make an appointment with the church office if you need or want to come by for any reason. Safety protocols need to be followed for the protection of yourself and others. Please see the written news of the community for more details about safety protocols And for information on how to contact Acting Office Manager Joshua Feltman, Allison Keekley Silva, or Reverend Fred Weidman. And now, let us quiet ourselves and prepare for worship.
When people see some things as beautiful, other things become ugly. When people see some things as good, other things become bad. Being and non-being create each other. Difficult and easy support each other. Long and short define each other. High and low depend on each other. Before and after follow each other. Therefore, the master acts without doing anything and teaches without saying anything. Things arise and she lets them come. Things disappear and she lets them go. She has but doesn't possess, acts but doesn't expect. When her work is done, she forgets it. That is why it lasts forever.
Invited to a moment of quiet rest, a time of slowing the pace of your body and mind so that the spirit can settle. The chimes will call us to prayerful meditation.
Divine goodness, Holy Spirit, pause us for this moment. Bear us up in this time. Hold us for eternity. We offer our lives in service to your creation. We dedicate ourselves to increasing beauty in this world. We commit to compassion and justice. We train our gaze on these deeper truths. We use this silence to draw close to you.
When you're tired and feel you can't get through, uncertainty comes over you, just look around. When your problems seem too much to bear, unsure if there's someone who cares, just look around. Whether stranger, neighbor, family, or friend, on each other in tough times we can depend. Look around, kindness, love is ours to share. We can see it everywhere, though it may seem like forever. Look around, even in our darkest night, things are gonna be alright. We'll get through this together, just look around.
On this Communion Sunday, we begin our prayers with a time of confession and absolution. We pray to our God of creation, of beauty, of compassion, and of justice. We pray to our God of deep, life-giving truth. O God, where we have done what is harmful, forgive us. Where we have neglected to act with compassion and for justice, forgive us. Where we have turned our backs on your life-giving truth, forgive us. We take a moment now in silent reflection and confession before our living God. Amen. Sisters and brothers, in Jesus the Christ, God shows us the way of life and shows us that the way of life overcomes the ways of death. You are forgiven, and through Christ you are called to life and life abundant. Live free. Live without excuses. Amen. And so we pray as the people of God. O God, we thank you for all life and for the life we have in you. We thank you for our family of faith Hillcrest and for all that we do together to experience and to share your good news for us and for the world. Continue to bless us, call us, comfort us, and challenge us in and for these times. And we pray for those who are sick and recovering from illness and injury, including Anne, Ariana, Betty, Dennis, John, Robin, Ron, and all who we name in our hearts and aloud now. We pray for all who grieve. We pray for all firefighters and responders, for all evacuees, and for all who have lost loved ones and property and are suffering through this season of wildfires. We pray for all healthcare workers, all frontline and essential workers, and all who have lost loved ones, livelihoods, and are suffering with COVID-19. We pray for all peace officers, for all who are working to make for peace and justice, and for all who have lost loved ones and are suffering with the legacy of racism in our land. We pray for all of our candidates and for all of our candidates' handlers that they would be guided by your call for love, justice, truth, and compassion. For all we are and for all you call us to be, we give you thanks. And we come to you now together with the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sometimes it can be hard to see. Life is full of possibilities, so look around. Each and every day is such a gift. Embrace it and the life you live, and look around. Outstretched arms and many helping hands. Don't give up on all your dreams and all your plans. Look around, kindness, love is ours to share. We can see it everywhere. Though it may seem like forever, look around, for even in our darkest night, things are gonna be alright. We'll get through this together. Just look around.
Now it is a time for Hillcrest Children's Moment. I'd like to ask all the children listening, and adults too, to think about your world, your perception of the world. And what describing words come to mind when you're thinking about our world? I know some of us might say chaotic or maybe even scary, but what about beautiful? Finding beauty is really easy when things are beautiful, unequivocally. A flower is beautiful, a sunny day filled with fun activities and people that you love is beautiful. But sometimes there are things in our world that really push us to find the beauty. And that's what being a child of God is. God has blessed us with the ability to find beauty in unexpected places, and more importantly, to be beauty in the world. So what I would like us all to think about now is in situations when maybe there isn't something that you can say is beautiful, what can you do as a child of God to add beauty to that situation and to the world? Did you guys think of anything? I really encourage you to share your thoughts with your parents or your loved ones. And in Sunday school this afternoon, we can review this together and talk about ways that we can add to the beauty in the world. Some ideas that I'm having about things that I can do to help be beauty in the world is by being loving to people that I encounter, even if they're different from me, and even if I don't really know who they are or maybe don't agree with things that they say, showing them love, God's love. That can add beauty to the world. What will you do? And now I'd like to lead us in a quick prayer as we continue to think about the ways that we as God's children can help be messengers of love and beauty in this world. God of goodness, thank you for beauty. Thank you for good news. Help me to help you bring beauty to someone else and be a messenger of good news for the beauty of the earth. Amen.
On this, the last Sunday of our summer worship season, I invite you to remember the contemplative practices we've learned, to open to the divine in deeper ways, and to train your spirit for the compassion of all things. Mindfully gifting water to living things, sensing the warmth of God's love, finding beauty in imperfections, opening to the gift of curiosity, seeing beauty in yourself as you are, and in others, people and things as they are. May you continue the practices that spoke particularly to you, and always remember to take a moment to breathe deeply, to sit in silence, and sense the beauty of God's grace. For the beauty of the earth. May it be so, for you and for our world. Amen.
Our psalm reading for today comes from Psalm 119. This psalm is a series of prayers, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Our section today starts with the letter He. In Hebrew, He is a causative verb, and so these words are a prayer for God to cause us to act, to cause us to learn, to cause us to understand. As you listen, think about the ways in which the Lord can guide you in your daily life. Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Our gospel reading for today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 15 through 20. As you listen, pay attention to the instructions that Jesus is giving to his disciples for after he's gone. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the good news.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my God, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Holy Spirit, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening to this recording. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying safe and healthy and supporting those close to you. I know that many people are having a hard time right now. I, for one, am just about ready for this pandemic to be over. It doesn't seem too long ago that I was holding out hope that it would have blown over in time for us to hold our regular summer camp. But instead, I found myself having to adjust to a new normal. I suspect many of you are feeling similar frustrations. I was reading an article the other day that stuck with me. It was saying we were facing not just a disease, but a loneliness epidemic. We're feeling isolated, missing the ability to hold our loved ones, to go out among people, to spend time in public spaces. I'm sure many of us are mourning the loss of something that we're now unable to do because of the coronavirus. For me, it's the ability to see a friend's baby. One of my best friends will be giving birth any day now, and I don't know when I'll be able to see the child through anything other than a computer screen. The loneliness epidemic, it's not just a mental health crisis. It's also a theological crisis. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just take a look at our Matthew reading for today. Matthew 18 contains one of my favorite verses. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Gathering. Community. Coming together as one body. It's one of the most fundamental elements of our faith as Christians. But we can't come together now, can we? Not in the traditional sense. We need only look around to see how much of a theological challenge quarantine can be. It's not a coincidence that churches have been some of the most stubborn institutions in defying social isolation rules. Continuing to meet in defiance of government orders and arguing for freedom of religion. The churches that choose to do this don't do it because they don't believe in the virus. They refuse to close because, on some fundamental level, Christianity is community. Ours isn't a private faith, though private prayer can still be important. The church is meant to be a family, one body with many members, supporting and holding one another, and never is that more apparent than when there's something preventing us from being together. Today's a communion Sunday, a day when we practice one of the most important rituals of our faith. The ritual calls for us to break bread and share a cup as a symbol of oneness with Christ and with each other. We can't do that now. So we make do. Sitting in our own homes, providing the elements ourselves, and hearing a blessing over Zoom. To many churches, this is completely inappropriate. There can be no communion without togetherness. These churches will, quite simply, not be practicing Holy Communion until restrictions are lifted. While I respect that decision, suspending communion doesn't feel right to me. Can it really be the case that we have to choose between defying quarantine and oneness in Christ? I like to believe that God isn't so limited. As I often do, I turn to Scripture for answers. But how can Scripture have an answer to this? The challenges we face today are ones the authors of the Gospels couldn't have possibly imagined. For example, did you know that Jesus says you don't have to wash your hands before you eat? Luke 11:38, if you don't believe me. This is because, to Jesus, hand washing was about ritual purity. People at the time never could have imagined that there were microorganisms that could get inside the body and cause disease. What wisdom could the Bible possibly have on communion through electronic media? I found my answer in our gospel reading for today. Let's take a look at what's happening in this section of Matthew. Jesus knows that his time is drawing near. He knows that he'll not be able to be with his disciples forever, and he's giving them instructions in what to do, how to act, after he's gone. It's not dissimilar to a conversation Reverend Fred has with me every time he goes on vacation. All right, here's the password to the computer, make sure you lock all the doors, and if so-and-so calls, here's what to expect. This place better not be a mess when I get back. And Jesus was a smart guy. He knew that the future would hold challenges nobody could anticipate. And so he gave his followers authority. "Truly I tell you," he says, "whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, binding and loosing are Jewish terms, which the disciples would have understood, but which might seem a bit strange to us. Jesus was a rabbi, and he's using very rabbinical language here. You see, a rabbi's job is to interpret the laws of the Torah, and to figure out how they apply to day-to-day life. For example, the Torah will say that you shall not work on the Sabbath. But what exactly does that mean? Does tying up your donkey count as work? How about flipping a light switch? One rabbi might say that you can only walk 1 mile from your home on the Sabbath, while another might say 3 miles is appropriate. This set of rules would be called a rabbi's yoke. And as circumstances changed, the rabbi would bind and loose these restrictions to make sure that the yoke adapted with the times. It's easy to miss what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 18. I've often heard that passage, "where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them," misinterpreted. Many people read it as simply saying, "when we gather, Christ is with us." But that doesn't make any sense. We don't need to gather for Christ to be present. Christ is with us always. Now, what this passage means is that when two or three are gathered, they have authority. It only takes two or three people to form a church, to bind and loose, and figure out how Christ's message fits their unique circumstances. This is the spirit that drew me to the UCC. We understand that, at the most fundamental level, the church isn't the building, or the pastor, or the endowment. It's the people, the community. We are the church. Wherever we are, whoever we are, and yes, wherever we are on life's journey. What it means to be community, to gather in Christ's name, has changed over the centuries. The first churches were held in people's houses. Then they met in secret, hiding from persecution. Then in grandiose cathedrals designed to recreate the kingdom of heaven. Is it really that much of a stretch to imagine gathering in Christ's name in cyberspace? That's the message I wanted to share with you today, the result of my theological searching. It might seem simple, but we are the church. We're one body and one community. We sing together, worship together, and break bread together. And even when the circumstances change, nothing can take that from us. We'll continue to hold each other in love and support as best we can, and Christ will continue to be among us, lending his strength to our struggles. As circumstances change, we'll have to find new ways to embody that community. But the body of Christ isn't going anywhere. These are challenging times, and I hope that some of you can take comfort in this message. I know I do. There are so many things right now that I don't have answers for. I can't help those of us who are missing being able to spend time with their loved ones, parents, children, grandchildren. I can't help those who are afraid that someone they care about will get seriously ill while hospitals are still not allowing visitors. I can't help people struggling with depression, anxiety, or other mental health challenges that are exacerbated by the quarantine. In so many ways, this loneliness epidemic has me feeling so helpless. So I take comfort in that which I know is eternal. I turn to Christ and find reassurance. Not that everything will be fine, or that all will return to normal, but that some things will never change. As long as at least two of us are willing to figure out how to be together, to make the effort to make us a community, we'll never be alone. I've seen such wonderful things from this community during the pandemic. I've seen the community members go out of their way to reach out to those of us who don't have computers or don't do email. I've seen us helping one another to learn new technologies that we now depend on. I've seen volunteers come in to work the food room during the pandemic to help people who are more vulnerable than they. And I believe, I truly believe, that Christ is with us right now. In this gathering, this digital church, blessing and supporting us as we continue to find ways to do Christ's work. And let all us members of Christ's church say together, Amen.
Savior God above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. I believe that God put sun and moon up in the sky. I don't mind the gray skies, 'cause they're just clouds passing by. Savior God above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. Heaven is a goodness time, a brighter light on high. Love your neighbor as yourself, and have a brighter by and by. Savior God above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. God is now, was then, and always will be. With God's blessing, we can make it through eternity. Savior God above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through.
You and me, we, as a church, are the bearers of the good news through our actions and our generous gifts to support the work of Hillcrest. Thank you for continuing to give by sending in pledges, or offering through the mail, or giving online at hillcrestucc.org. Your gifts help to continue the vital work of our ministries, to care for each other, our community, and the world. And please remember to take care of yourselves and each other. We are a church together, we give together as we support one another, and support the work of our church. Let us pray. Beloved Creator, help us clearly see your good news through all of the turmoil around us. Let us each be a center of the storm, creating a safe and steady place of refuge for others. Bless our gifts that they may help others know that they are held in your loving light. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. God of beauty, yours the splendor shone in earth and sky and sea. Burning sun and moonlight tender, hill and river, flower and tree. Lest we fail our praise to render, touch our eyes that we may see. God of wisdom, whom obeying mighty waters ebb and flow, while unhasting, undelaying, planets on their courses go. In the laws yourself displaying, teach our minds yourself to know. God of life alone sustaining, all below and all above, God of love, by whose ordaining sun and star sublimely move, in our earthly spirits reigning, lift our hearts that we may love.
After we receive the blessing, I invite us all to pass the peace. Though we can't be physically together in person, please turn to whoever is next to you. Maybe a spouse, maybe a partner, maybe a cat or a dog, or even the blue jay on your windowsill. Greet each other in the name of Christ, saying peace be with you. And now, let us receive the blessing. The world is so varied and beautiful. Seek wisdom wherever it is to be found. And may the goodness of the Creator, the companionship of the Christ, and the insights of the Spirit infuse your life now and always. Amen.
I invite you now to literally stretch out your arms and open your heart and repeat after me. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Amen.
Our service has ended. For those of you worshiping on Sunday morning, September 6th, 2020, know that we will be gathering at 11 a.m. for a brief service of Holy Communion, followed by a time of fellowship. The information to join via Zoom has been circulated. If you've not received it or have questions about it, please email Reverend Fred now at revfred.hillcrest@att.net. Go in peace, shelter in peace, experience God's beauty in others, in yourself, and in the world in peace. Amen.